morning, everyone. Oyo gozaimasu. Long time no see. Wow. You know, it's a real blessing to be back. And it was actually, just thinking about it, about 6 years ago, this next Tuesday, July 19th, 2010, is when my wife Amy and I came to Osaka for the first time, okay, and started to live in Osaka. So this Tuesday, and I always remember this date because that's my birthday, so this Tuesday. And so, you know, and I remember that was that day that we came, and just a few days later, I officially began to serve here at OIC as a pastor, and you know, that's when we were also just lovingly embraced into the family of OIC here as well. And so it's really great to be back with the family. It's like a reunion, right? It's really cool. And so thank you for having us. Crazy how time flies so fast, right? So that's where we're at. And so thank you for having us. Let's go ahead and open the word in prayer. Father, we thank you for this fellowship and the opportunity you have given us to praise your holy name together. Once again, please open our hearts and speak to us as we study your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I would like to begin this morning by sharing an interesting Bible fact that I think might surprise you. Okay, did you know that Jesus never told unbelievers to go to church? Okay, he never stood there in the crowd and said, "Hey, you bunch of sinners, you better go to church on Sunday." Okay, he never said that. No, Jesus, he never told anyone lost in this world to go to church. But them all, okay, he did tell his church to go into this world. Okay, so notice our first verse. I don't know, do we have verses today? Hey, get down. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, as most of you I'm sure know, this is called what? The Great Commission. Now, what if I was to do something different today, okay? And said, "Hey guys, we're gonna do something a little different today. Alistair's gone. Hey, I got the pulpit. This is great." What if I said, "Let's all go ahead and stand up and we're gonna go outside and, you know, hey, Jesus, he said it. He said, let's preach the world, the word to the whole world, right? So, hey, let's go share the word right now. Everybody, tatte kudasai. Let's stand up. We're going to get some tracts. We're going to go preach the gospel to everybody out there that we see." Now, how would you feel about that? Would you be excited about that? Would you all of a sudden remember that you, I have something to do at home. I have to go take care of. Would something all of a sudden remind you had to go do something? Would this cause fear? Would it cause some doubt? Would it cause some anxiety? You know, I wouldn't doubt that it would for many of us. But why? Why? Isn't this exactly what Jesus said to do? Didn't he promise that he was going to be with us? So what's the problem? What's the problem? Our flesh is the problem. That's the problem, okay? We have this thing called flesh. Jesus himself said in Matthew 26:41, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus says go, but our flesh says no. Jesus' great commission plus our great weakness equals a great problem. Okay, a great problem. But Jesus is, of course, the great problem solver. So in Acts 1:8, he gives us the great solution. The great solution. Notice Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive," what? "Power." power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, even Japan. Okay? So in other words, Jesus is saying, have no fear. The Holy Spirit is here. You know, the empowering of the Holy Spirit is Jesus' great solution to our great weakness, our flesh. Therefore, Mark 16:15-16, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Okay, but how? How are we to be witnesses? How are we to share the gospel? Okay, notice what Jesus said to Peter and his brother Andrew when he called them to be his disciples. Matthew 4:19. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. What is the point or the purpose or the goal of being fishers of men? What do you think? To catch men, of course, right? To catch men, that's the purpose. And notice the process here. First, Jesus said, follow me. Okay? That's a call to discipleship. That's where we learn how to become fishers of men. But second, Jesus said that he will make us fishermen, right? That's what he says. The purpose of discipleship is not just to learn how to fish, but to become fishers of men, to go fishing, right? If someone calls himself a fisherman and never goes fishing, is he really a fisherman? What makes somebody a fisherman? Is it the know-how or the action? The action. The know-how only makes you better at it, right? You kind of have some ideas how to do it. But guess what? When Jesus says, he says, follow me, right? And when he says that, how do we respond? Do we say, okay, you can my show? Or do we say, no way, maybe some other day? How do we respond? Do we hesitantly say, that depends, Jesus. You know, where are you going? I want to know first. Well, Jesus told us exactly where we're going. Notice John 14:2-3. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you there you may be also. Okay, so heaven is ultimately where we will be by following Jesus. That's the goal, right? Okay, sounds great. We like that. So what are we supposed to do while we're waiting? Now I'm going to come off the translation for a second, so hold on, Yumi. All right, it's my style. But really quick, if the purpose of is going to heaven, and that's all the goal is, just to go to heaven, then don't you think that God would just go ahead and take us as many as we said, Lord, I believe in you. Okay, bye-bye, let's go. If that was the ultimate goal of being a Christian, then God would just take us home the second we believe, right? Why leave us around here? What's the purpose of leaving us here? Okay, now back to the text. So what are we supposed to do? Okay, what are we supposed to do while we wait? We're supposed to go fishing. That's what we're supposed to do. But Joseph, you know, I don't really like fishing. Okay, well, I totally understand that. When I was a kid, give you an example, I hated fishing. I literally hated fishing. I would have to get up very early in the morning while it was still dark. I would have to go to some distant, faraway place, far, far away from my cartoons on TV. Okay, I would have to carry all these gear down to the water, I remember, and I would have to wait hours upon hours before I'd ever get a bite if I ever did, okay? Now, I would have to do all these things. I would have to do all these things that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to do them, okay? And normally, I would get so bored after the first 15 minutes, that I would just go ahead and start looking for some crabs and some bugs and anything else that would catch my attention. Now, I figured, it made sense to me, if I caught something, then it would be waiting for me when I got back. Stuck on the line, right? So why sit there the whole time? You know, today, I believe it's much faster and much cheaper to just go buy a fish at Kansai Super than it is to go out there and try to catch one. But you see, the problem is that you can't go purchase someone's soul, someone's salvation at Kansai Super now, can we? We can't. So see, the purpose here and the reason is that we of course, there are those who love to go fishing and those who don't, right? And for those who love fishing, you know, they enjoy the challenge, right? They enjoy the challenge. They enjoy the rewards. To them, it's just it comes from the catching the fish. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth anything they have to do because of the thrill, the excitement, the joy of catching that fish, you know? But hey, Joseph, you know, that's great for them. But personally, I just don't like going fishing. Okay, I'm using fishing as an analogy here, obviously. And you know, that's fair. But I may ask this question, you know, sometimes, you know, have you ever actually gone fishing? Some people we ask, hey, I don't like fishing, but have you actually gone fishing? And I'll tell you why I say that is because statistics tell us that 90 to 95% of professing Christians have never shared the gospel to anyone. So if you're one of these statistics, how do you know that you don't like going fishing if you've never even gone fishing, right? So, you never even tried. Now, for those of you who have gone fishing but still say, hey, I don't like it, then I would ask you this. What type of fishing did you try? Perhaps there is another method. Perhaps there is another way to go fishing that you might like, that you might enjoy. You know, as I mentioned, I hated lake fishing. That's where we would go. We would go to the lake, and I hated lake fishing when I was a kid. It was so boring. Okay? But then when I was about 34 years old, a friend took me deep sea fishing. Okay? And I loved it. Oh, big difference, okay? And I sat there for hours and hours and hours, and guess what? I didn't catch anything. But I loved every minute of it. I just loved it. And then at last, of course, I got a bite, and it was pretty cool. I got a bike, and I struggled, and I pulled up this baby mako shark, and it was trying to bite me. It was really cool. And you know, the point is, I thought it was so cool, and I really loved it, and I just would love to go again someday. Okay? And my point is that there will always be many methods of fishing, but the principle will always be the same. And the principle is this. We are either fishers of men or we are not. That's it. Okay? If we never try to catch any fish, we're never going to catch any fish, folks. That's it. Okay? And if we never catch any fish, then we will never really know what we're missing out on. Really. If you don't like certain methods of fishing, then I would challenge you to pray and to just ask God to either change your heart or put on your heart a new method that you might enjoy. Okay? Now, think about it like this. What do you suppose the purpose or the point for someone going to school to learn language, to learn medicine, to learn mathematics or, you know, mechanics or whatever it is out there, okay? And when they have exactly zero intentions of ever applying what they're learning to their life, the things they're learning in class, I have no intentions. Well, then what's the point of learning it? You know, in the same way as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are not just to continue to learn week after week, but we are to apply what we learn to our life. And that is what James says when he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, James 1:22, deceiving yourselves. So Are you ready to go fishing? Are you ready to share the gospel to your family members, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, and even total strangers as the Spirit leads you? If so, what would you tell them? What would you tell them? Would you say, hey, God loves you, right? And they might reply, hey, thanks, appreciate that. Exactly which one of the 8 million Shinto gods here in Japan are you talking about? Or how about the 330 million Hindu gods, right? Seriously, folks, you know, we really need to be a little more specific when we share about God's love. Which God are you talking about? And that is why we are to share the gospel. We're to share the gospel. Okay, now what is the gospel? I'm sure you know by now. Paul defines it for us in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So Christ died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And according to verse 1 and 2 here, this is the gospel by which also you are saved, it says, right? If I was a Pentecostal preacher right now, I'd say, hey, if you believe this, give me an amen. Do we really believe this? Well, amen to that, right? But you see, if we agree, if we could say amen to that, Brother Joseph, yeah, okay, then why do so many Christians find it so hard to share? Why? Especially here in Japan. Okay. Dr. Minoru Okuyama was a former Buddhist and Shintoist who later on in life became a Christian and the director of the Missionary Training Center in Japan. Okay? When addressing why he believed there were so few Christians in Japan, he said this, and let me quote, "Japanese people value human relationships more than truth and principle." Nihonjin, he said this, not me. Okay, and he went on to say, consequently, we can say that, as for Japanese, one of the most important things is harmony. In Japanese, it's the wa. Right? The wa. Don't mess with the wa. Okay. Is this true? Have you ever been in a situation where if you told the truth to somebody, someone might not like you? Okay, someone might get offended. You know, I'm sure we all have gone through that. And I say we all, not just Nihonjin, okay? Every one of us have gone through that. Okay, and because of these fears, many of us refrain from speaking the truth. Sometimes don't. We do. Sometimes the truth isn't always the most important thing to some people, is it? Sometimes tradition and cultural norms and social expectations can take priority even above and over truth itself. In many cases, maintaining harmony between relationships has a higher priority than truth. And people will often sacrifice what they know to be true for the sake of maintaining the peace and the harmony in relationships. What does the Japanese proverb tell us? The nail that sticks up gets pounded down. But think about that analogy for a second. Which is freer? The nail that has been pounded down and forced to conform, or the nail that sticks up for what it believes in and knows is true and right? Jesus said, John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you" what? Free from what? Free from our sin. Free from the loneliness and the emptiness in our hearts. Free to believe, no matter what anyone else may say, that God loves me. God loves you. He loves us. And He has a plan and a purpose for our lives. He does. In regards to sharing the truth of the gospel, Paul the Apostle said it like this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Romans 1:16. Why not, Paul? Why aren't you ashamed? Because for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Can we say the same? Can we say, no, I'm not ashamed either? Well, let me give you one more statistic. In 2014, 25,000 people in Japan were reportedly committed suicide. Okay? That's an average of 70 suicides every single day for an entire year. Okay? People are losing hope in family, in friends, in society, in culture, in religion, in their very selves every single day here in Japan, and they're giving up on life itself. You know, when we share the hope we have, the hope that we have in the Lord with people in hopeless situations, how do they react? Do they say, "Hey, you know, appreciate that, thank you, but seriously, how do you expect me to find hope in your faith that I don't believe in?" Right? Well, I personally would say, do you have any better options? Seriously, in your time of depression, when all hope has been lost, what better option is there? Suicide? Hey, suicide is not an option for those who want to survive. Okay? But you see, how can Jesus be considered an option at all if they've never even heard the gospel himself? In our fellowship, we have had three families lose an immediate family member to suicide within a 10-month span. Okay? Two mothers lost their sons. One brother lost his sister to suicide. We only have, on average, around 30 people in our fellowship. So that means 10% of our fellowship has lost immediate loved ones to suicide. 10%. And I say this because, you know, and that's, I mean, that's just what I know of. That's what I know of. And I know this because I've been told, but I say this because, as you know, suicide, especially here in Japan, is a shameful thing that most families don't even want to share. The neighbors don't even know. The family members don't. Most people don't even know when it happens in the household. So for all I know, this percentage in my own fellowship could even be higher. I don't know. Especially if we start adding cousins and uncles and friends. I'm sure that percentage would go way up. You may have heard of what has been called the miracle of Kamaishi. Kamaishi. The miracle of Kamaishi is a story of how 3,000 students survived the tsunami of March 11th. Now, let me read this for you. Several years ago, before the tsunami, Professor Toshitaka Katara interviewed children from the Miyagi Prefecture that had been affected by two major earthquakes and tsunami in the past century. He was shocked to hear the children say, without hesitation, that they wouldn't evacuate another, even if another earthquake hit that region, because the adults of their families wouldn't. They wouldn't evacuate because the adults and their family members weren't going to evacuate. That's what it says. That's what these kids said when he interviewed them. And so he commented. He said, "Children look to grown-ups and do what they do." So Professor Katara, he realized that if those children lost their lives to a tsunami, the fault would not lie just with the parents, but all of Japan as a society. He said, I knew I had to do something so children can save their own lives. So Katara began to encourage children to take the initiative in any evacuation. He commented, in general, people don't evacuate even though they know they should. It's natural to be reluctant to escape when no one else is escaping. Right? If I say, hey, there's a bomb here. You guys better get out now. But I'm just standing here. I'm drinking some water. You wouldn't believe me. But if I said, hey, there's a bomb here. Let's get out of here. Maybe some of you would run. Okay. So if no one else is escaping, well, then why should I? That's the point. So he told the students, listen to this, okay? Listen to this. You must be brave and be the first ones to evacuate. If you do, others will follow you and you can save their lives too. And that is exactly what happened. Immediately after the 9.0 earthquake struck that afternoon, the students from Kamaishi East Junior High School ran out of the school to higher grounds. Their quick response prompted the children and teachers of the neighboring Unosumai Elementary School to follow and consequently drew many of the local residents as well. As they continued to run, older students supported the younger school children and together they reached safe location while behind them the mega tsunami just swallowed up their schools and their town. In the same way, we must be brave. We must be brave and be the first ones to evacuate from family, if that's what it takes, from culture, from social and religious bonds that would endanger our personal, eternal salvation. If each one of us takes our own responsibility for our own life, then there will be the possibility for others to be saved as well. That's the point. Now I remember when I had just barely become a Christian, I was there attending my grandfather's funeral. And standing right next to me was my little sister, Tina, and she was not a Christian yet. Okay? She was not a Christian at all. Far from it. And as we looked down at my grandfather's grave site, she said to me, that's it. That's where we're going to end up. That's where we're going. And immediately I just stopped. Hey, wait a minute. I said, hey, that might be where you're going to end up, but not me, sister. I'm going to be in heaven. Okay. That might be where you're going to end up, but not me. I want to be in heaven. I'm not ashamed to admit it. And so at that point, that was my first opportunity to share the gospel with my sister. Just as Jesus promised, right? He said, John 11:26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And the question is for us too. Do you believe this to be true? I believe it. And as a result, around 3 months after sharing with my little sister, she became a Christian. And not just my little sister, but my mom and my older sister as well. All at the same time. In other words, I went fishing. I went fishing. And I was a baby Christian. Barely a month old in the Lord. And I went fishing. And I hear so many people, oh, I can't share. I'm not qualified. I don't know what to say. I got to study for 10 years. Meanwhile, family members are being lost, and that's the point. If you have not gone fishing yet, you need to understand something. Those fish that mean the most to you are not promised to be there tomorrow when you finally say, okay, I'm ready to go fishing. We don't have that luxury. We don't have that promise, folks. And seeing it happen to our own fellowship, how can I not encourage you, my family at OIC, to do the same? Go fishing, folks. Share the truth in love before it's too late. Now, how to go fishing? Well, you can talk to Pastor Alistair about that. Thank you for your time. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious love and forgiveness upon us. We realize there are people you placed in our lives that don't know you. We understand they're not promised another day, and nor are we. So we pray that you would soften their hearts to receive your love. And if it's your will, that you prepare our hearts to help do it. Please, we realize that apart from you, from your Son, we can do nothing. And without your Holy Spirit in our lives, we have zero power. So we cry out to you and surrender. Have your will. Have your way in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Arigato.